Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is The Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So hope you've had an awesome week. Last week, we started a lesson, and who knows how long it will go on. We started a lesson from the first chapter of the letter to the Galatians, and I love this letter. I love all of Paul's letters, but Romans and Galatians are just so awesome. We actually got, after summarizing what we had talked about before and going through chapter one, it turns out that we went through like the first four verses and spent a lot of time on the background to the letter, and also spent a lot of time on the idea that Paul has to remind his readers in Galatia. Remember, these were letters. They weren't podcasts. They weren't YouTube videos. They weren't some kind of live stream. They were letters. This was a letter that circulated around and was read in the church by the believers who attended there. And there was probably a lot of excitement to say they got a letter from Paul. And he starts out, actually, by reminding the people that God sent Jesus as Messiah, and that Jesus, the Messiah, had given his life for our sins so that we could be delivered from this present evil age, he calls it. And this is the will of the Father. There was a problem there because the church had been started. And after a very short period of time, as we're going to see in a couple of minutes, things started to change and started to change in actually some pretty serious ways. And we're going to get to the term another gospel. And I want you to keep in mind as we go through this that I like the term another gospel because in our time in history, we are not only to the point where we can say we have another gospel, but we have multiple other gospels, and we have been going headlong against what the true gospel is. And Paul summarized it in that first couple of verses by saying, Jesus is the Messiah. He came to die for you. He came to deliver you from sin and death. He came to take you away from the evil of the present age. And in our time, we've given up that gospel and we've gone headlong into the evil of the present age and made that the gospel. So, well, I'm going to have more to say about that later and probably next week or two as well. But Paul says he was commissioned to preach this, and this is the plan of salvation. He says he got this gospel not from men nor through a man, but through Jesus himself. So he received this gospel by direct revelation. He says, I didn't get this gospel from a man. I got it by direct revelation from Jesus himself. And this is what I've been commissioned to preach. So he reminds the readers in Galatia that this is the basics of the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the kerygma, if you want to look at it that way. This is the center, the nucleus of the plan of salvation. And there is no other kind of salvation. And in our time, we even have to remind the church of what the plan of salvation is, because now the church can't decide whether it's recycling or whether it's accepting any degree of immorality and perversion and bizarre behavior as all being included and tolerant and nice. and that the more we accept, the better we adhere to the gospel. So now, in our time, we have to remind the church. So here, Paul is reminding the church in Galatia. We're going to go down to verse 6, and I think as we're going to read 6 and 7, and I think you're going to understand how this applies to our current time, what the state of the gospel is in, well, almost the end of the first quarter of the 21st century. So, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. I marvel at how soon you're turning away. The impression here is, gee, I was just there not long ago, and I preached this gospel to you, and I thought you guys had this down cold, and I thought this was going to be a good, strong, healthy church. And I can't believe in a short amount of time, it doesn't tell us the time, but in a short amount of time, you've turned away. You've turned away from grace to a different gospel, which isn't a gospel at all. Isn't a gospel at all. So now he begins to reprimand the church. They've turned away from grace. They've turned away from grace. He marvels at this. He's surprised. He's shocked. He can't believe it. He can't believe how fast it's happened. Now, in our time, it's started happening a little more slowly, but in recent times, I don't know how many years, certainly over the last 10, 15, it has really accelerated. And anyone who's over the age of about 50 probably marvels along with Paul at how fast things have changed. People younger than 50 don't even remember when there was a real gospel anymore. But now you have the leaders of major denominations talking about recycling and talking about global warming and talking about the rights of people who were living in sin, the rights of people that totally contradict God's law. Now we must be tolerant, because after all, Jesus accepted everyone. Well, he accepted everyone. He didn't turn anyone away. But he brought about change in their life. He never tells anyone, stay the way you are. It's just perfect. You're living just right. In John chapter 8, where you have the woman caught in adultery, he says to her, I don't condemn you either. But he does not say, oh, you know, you're okay. You know, nobody's perfect. And it really doesn't matter what you do. So I'm sorry these other guys bothered you. He says, no, don't do that anymore. Don't commit that horrible sin anymore. Free yourself from this evil that's permeated your life. This is how he approached the people that came to him with sincerity. So Paul points out a big error that these Galatians are making. And he's shocked that they've fallen into this so quickly. They've moved away from grace. They've moved away from the simplicity of the gospel. When Messiah Jesus, Messiah Yeshua came, he came to be the end point of the law, the fulfillment of the law. We went from a covenant of law to a covenant of grace. A covenant of grace. This is why it's good news. Keeping 613 laws is not good news. It doesn't mean that the laws are bad. It doesn't mean that the laws are somehow evil. As Paul points out in Romans, the law is holy. God gave the law. The problem is not with the law. The problem is that we cannot keep the law because of our frail, defective nature. And so another covenant was needed. The writer to the Hebrews says, if the first covenant would have been sufficient to save people, there would not have been need for a second covenant. There is not going to be a third covenant. If we remember, Jesus at the Last Supper says this is the new and eternal covenant. There will be no third covenant. There will be no third testament. There are two testaments, two main covenants, a lot of minor covenants, but two main covenants, law and grace. And he said himself at the Last Supper, that last Seder that he had on earth, that this is going to be not only the new covenant, but it's going to be eternal. In other words, it's never going to end. The covenant that we're in now is never going to end. There isn't a time limit on it. It doesn't have an expiration date on it. It's never going to end. In our time, we've made a third covenant. We have actually made a third covenant. We've gotten away from the gospel. We've gotten away from grace. We've gotten away from any sense of foundation to a I'll decide what my covenant is, and the God I believe in will go along with me. Because after all, I have made him in my own image. I want to serve a God that is in my own image. I want to be independent. I want to be free. I want to carry on with my life in any way that I want to be, any way that I want to behave, in any way that I want to live my life. So we've taken that eternal covenant of grace and changed it to a third covenant, which is, well, there's really no rules, there's really no grace, there's really no anything. There's just tolerance, and there's freedom, and there's independence. And I am not confined by any restrictions whatsoever. And again, how I always maintain that Satan always uses the same strategy that he used with Eve. And the reason he uses it is because it works. Satan says, did God really say that? Yes. Is that really what he meant? I don't know. Well, let me tell you what he really means. Let me tell you why he wants to restrict your freedom. Let me tell you why he really wants to control you, have you under his thumb. He doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to be free. And all you have to do is turn the news on now. We just had 4th of July celebrations that I've never seen anything like it. And I lived through the 60s. And I've never seen anything like this. What's going on now? Everybody wants their complete freedom to live their life any way they want. That's the third covenant. Well, you can make all the covenants you want, but the covenant of grace, the covenant of the gospel, is the eternal covenant. So if you don't follow that, you're going to be in for a big surprise at some point. But anyway, so Paul tells the Galatians they've moved away from grace. They've turned away from the grace that they had accepted that came from the sacrifice of Christ, that came from the cross, that came from the shedding of the blood, that came from the blood atonement that covered sin, atoned for sin, and in the case of Messiah, forgave sin. The prophecies of the Tanakh, all the teachings of the Torah in particular, were about blood atonement. All of the Torah is about blood atonement. And if you'd like to see, well, actually, yeah, see and listen to the Torah class I've put together, and it's really meant for Christians who don't really know a lot about Torah. There's 33 sessions. There is a YouTube channel that I started called The Torah Class. Easy to remember, The Torah Class. There are 27 sessions on there now. There are six more to go, but by the time you watch those, the rest of them will be on. It's about blood. It's all about without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And that grace came from the shedding of his blood. The prophets talked about this. Not just Torah, but the prophets talked about this. David in the Psalms talks about a suffering Messiah. It's not just Isaiah 53. David has many Psalms that talk about a suffering Messiah. But Paul criticizes them for turning away from the grace that came from that sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, the Tanakh prophesies that even though our sins are like scarlet, he'll make them white as snow. They'll be buried in the deepest part of the ocean, never to be remembered. He won't even remember our sins. He'll put our sins as far as the east is from the west, away from us. These are promises in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh. And Paul is absolutely shocked at how soon this happened. That he points out additions were being made. People were adding things to the gospel. And we know that that's gone through all of Christian history. It's gone through so many of the heresies of the first two or three centuries. There were additions made to the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel was taken away. He says they were being troubled. Paul says they were being troubled by some who perverted the gospel. They made a different way of salvation. When you make a different way of salvation, you pervert the gospel of Christ. You pervert the gospel of the cross. They were mixing law with grace. They were mixing all kind of things, knowledge that you had to have. And, you know, if you were in the in crowd and you had knowledge like the Gnostics believed, then you could be saved. Otherwise, well, no, you know, if you don't know this knowledge, you can't be saved. For centuries, the church thought theologians had to teach us how to be saved, even though the gospel makes it clear how we're saved. Remember, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. So there was a change going on. He calls it a perversion going on. And we've seen this accelerate in our time. To bring that up again, we have moral relativism. So in other words, what does moral relativism do? It takes away the concept of sin. Because after all, what is right and what is wrong? What's right for you may not be right for the other person. And what's right for that person may not be right for the other person. But we're all three right. It even violates the laws of logic, let alone the moral laws. It obliterates sin. And this is Satan's purpose in having moral relativism. The concept of sin is lost. Then we have social justice, which has been a very important part of the gospel since the beginning. In ancient Rome, the people were amazed that the Christians took care of poor people, that they rescued babies, that Romans had left to die because they didn't want them for whatever reason. They were amazed by that. Social justice has led to the church starting hospitals, schools, helping the poor, any number of social organizations. But social justice follows from the gospel. It is not the gospel. You can have terrific social justice and be an atheist, and you will be lost at the end. And now in our time, we've had climate change, as I mentioned. The earth has always warmed and cooled. the Earth has always gone through climate cycles. It used to snow all the time in London. If you read Dickens' novels, it's always snowing. It doesn't snow in London very often now. Because in the 1800s, it got warmer there, long before there were cars. The Earth has always gone through cycles. Climate change is not the gospel. We are to be stewards of the environment and of the Earth, yes, and of the animals, yes. But at the very beginning of the book of Genesis, Bereshit, in the beginning, when God creates Adam and Eve, he tells them to have dominion over the earth, to have dominion over the plants and animals. We don't want to kill people in order to let the earth do better, which are things that are being suggested now, sometimes at the highest level of big denominations, but we'll get into that at another time. But all these things affect our behavior and affect our outlook on life. They affect our outlook on life. They take us away from the center. The cross is the center. The cross is the center of salvation history. And this modern gospel, which we can say with Paul, is not a gospel at all, is taking focus away from the cross. In fact, it's taken focus away from blood atonement. In fact, it's taken focus away from Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, who's the only redeemer, the only savior, the only salvation. And it's putting millions and hundreds of millions and billions of people in jeopardy. And the leaders of churches are responsible for this because they won't preach the truth. So he goes on to say in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I have said before, so I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Ooh. So if an angel comes, remember, 2 Corinthians, Paul says, Satan can be an angel of light if he wants to be. Satan knows the scripture much more thoroughly than you do. He can come as an angel of light. And he can play on your weaknesses. He can play on your frailty to take advantage of that situation, put doubt in your mind, lead you to thinking that electric cars and windmills are just as important as the cross. So Paul says, if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, he should be accursed. An angel, be accursed. He says, if we come with another gospel, we should be accursed. So here he's talking about himself. So basically what he's saying is, if I go out and fall down and hit my head on a rock, and I have a head injury, closed brain injury, and I have a change in behavior, I have a change in personality, and I come and preach another gospel, I'm accursed. Don't listen to me. Anything that deviates from what I've already told you, what I've already taught you, is a curse. Why is it a curse? Because it will lead you to eternal loss. And the church is responsible for not teaching this squarely. The gospel is so important that changing it or perverting its simplicity is an anathema. Accursed, same word as anathema. You know, anathema gets thrown around a lot because of the councils. The church councils commonly use the word anathema. But it's the same as being accursed. You change the gospel, you pervert it, it's an anathema. Anyone who preaches another gospel is accursed. It's an anathema. One of them is placing the works of the law in the place of Christ. If you place rules and regulations in place of the blood that was shed on the cross, you're perverting the gospel. You're making yourself anathema. which has happened in our time. So the basis of the gospel has been lost. And we have no foundation. We're looked at as narrow-minded, as exclusive. And so the society has no foundation. Oh, I hear the music playing already. Oh, I guess this is going to need a third part. Well, thanks for joining us, and come back again next week where we'll read and teach God's word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.